happen for you too. So at this time, we're going to have a reading from the book of James, and we're going to read from verses 12 through 18. Now, the title of today's message is How to Overcome Temptation. And we'll see how, you know, that's something that we all struggle with. We all struggle with temptation. So let's hear then from God's word what James, the servant of God, has to say about that. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that he created. And so far, then, the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, a mother told her son that he wasn't allowed to go swimming that day. And when the boy returned home that afternoon, his mother noticed that his hair was wet and he was carrying a wet bathing suit under his arm. Johnny, his mother scolded him. I told you not to go swimming today. Well, I couldn't help it, Mom. I walked by the lake and I noticed it was so clear and so inviting. And so I was just going to stick my foot in, just for a minute. But the water was so warm, I just couldn't resist it. Mom looked at Johnny. Well, one question for you, Johnny. Why did you take your bathing suit with you when I told you not to go swimming today? Well, Mom, I just didn't trust myself. So I took it with me just in case I would be tempted. Well, temptation is the oldest problem of mankind. It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. We all face temptation on a daily basis. And yes, even for us as Christians, we are tempted on a regular basis also. James says in verse 13, when we are tempted. He doesn't say if you get tempted. No, when tempted. And even when we know what's right for us, so many times it's still difficult for us to say no. The fact is, we will never be in a place here on this earth where there is no temptation for us in our lives. Now, I think sometimes there's a misconception that once we are a committed Christian, that, yeah, then we'll have our lives totally together. But when we think that way, that only causes us to fake it. That only causes us to pretend that we are better than we really are. There's no escape from temptation in this life. The more we grow in our commitment to God, the more we find ourselves being tempted. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to us all. And so what that means is that all of us are really in the same boat. We all struggle with some temptations in our lives. We all struggle with the same kinds of temptations. It might be different from one person to the other, but we all struggle with temptation. And so there's no sense in trying to hide that. I mean, it's actually liberating for us to know that other people have temptations too, that other people have some of the same struggles with temptation that we do. In fact, James even shows us here in this passage that it's not a sin for anyone to be tempted. It's only a sin when we give in to the temptations of our lives. Hebrews 4 verse 15 says that even Jesus has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he was without sin. Jesus was tempted, but he never gave in because Jesus was perfect. Now, of course, Jesus was the only one who was ever perfect. And so it comes back to the fact that it's not a sin for us to be tempted because we're human. And because we're human, Satan will try his hardest to tempt us just as he did with Jesus himself. And the more we are committed to Jesus, the more we'll find ourselves being tempted in our lives. Now, while temptation itself might not be a sin, we still need to be responsible for how we react to the temptation in our lives. It's easy to think that we can blame other people for influencing us the wrong way. But we all have a choice. We all have a choice whether or not we're going to give in to those kinds of influences in our lives. And likewise, James shows us that it doesn't help for us to try to blame God for the temptations of our lives. As James says in verse 13, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So, we can't blame God. We can't blame other people for our problems. Now, in many ways, we live in a society where there's a lot of irresponsibility. It's so easy for us, you know, to come up with ways to blame the government for things. We blame the environment that we live in. We blame our parents. We blame our spouse. We blame the devil. And we're even tempted to blame God for things. Some people even will go as far as to say it must be God's will for this to happen, or he wouldn't have allowed it to happen. Well, that's a cop-out. It's like the guy who says, God told me to leave my wife and to marry someone else that I met at church. We can't blame those kind of bad choices on God. God doesn't tempt us. God never contradicts his word. God never tells us to do one thing and then have the Bible say something different. If the Bible says one thing and we do something different, then it's always wrong. We can't blame God. We can't blame other people for our bad choices. It's kind of like the overweight businessman who decides that it was time for him to lose some weight. And he took his diet so seriously that he even changed his route of going to work to avoid a bakery that tempted him so much every day. Well, one morning he arrived at work with this huge coffee cake. This is a special coffee cake, he said. And he said that it was no accident that he had gone to the bakery that morning. He said, I prayed, Lord, if you want me to have one of those delicious coffee cakes, well then let me find a parking spot right in front of the bakery. And sure enough, the eighth time I drove around the block, there it was, an empty parking space. Well, if we're going to break some of the bad habits that we're dealing with in our lives, we need to quit making excuses and we need to take responsibility for our actions. Which means that we also need to be ready to face temptation at all times in our lives. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. James also says in verse 14 and 15, each of you is tempted when you are dragged away by your own evil desire and you're enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. What the Bible is telling us there is that we need to be on guard at all times. Temptation doesn't warn us in advance. And we're often the most vulnerable after we experience some significant success in our lives. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, if you think that you are standing firm, be careful. Be careful that you don't fall. So how do we do that? How do we prepare for temptation in our lives? Well, it helps for us to try to understand how temptation operates in the first place. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11 says, in order that Satan might not outwit us, we are not aware of his schemes. In other words, God wants us to know how the devil operates, how the devil tries to tempt us in our lives. And typically, temptation is not a one-time kind of an act. Often, it's a process of what happens to us. And it usually begins with a desire that goes wrong for us. James says in verse 14, each of you is tempted by your own evil desire. Now, we all have desires. We all live with desires. We all have a desire to have food to eat. We have a desire to have a good sleep at night. We all have a desire to accomplish things in our lives. We have sexual desires. And we even have a desire to want to hang out with other people, and especially in this time of social isolation. Oh, boy, do we want to get together with other people again. And it's God who gives us those desires. But what Satan often tries to do is Satan tries to take these routine desires, these good desires, and he tries to turn these good things into destructive habits. And when we're consumed with things like food or work or pleasure or sex or money, he takes these things and he turns them into temptations for us. And when such desires get out of control, it starts to become a problem in our lives. Now, the next step in this process of temptation is something called deception. As James says in verse 14, you are dragged away by your own evil desire and enticed. Now, the word enticed here is really a fisherman's term, to be lured by some bait. And those of you who are into fishing, you know that the key to good fishing is to have the right bait. You need to have the right bait to catch the kind of fish that you're hoping to catch. So, what kind of bait does Satan try to use for us? Well, without a doubt, Satan is the best fisherman in this world. He knows your weakness, he knows my weakness, and he knows the right bait to try to appeal to this weakness that we experience in our lives. And the crazy thing is, we see that hook that he's dangling there, and we know it's a temptation, and yet, what do? We just keep nibbling away at that hook. We allow ourselves to be deceived, and before we know it, we're hooked. We're hooked as the desire turns into sinful disobedience in our lives. Now, James says in verse 15, then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. In other words, what begins in the mind then results in action. And the devil knows that when he can get our attention, he will eventually get us to commit to that sinful action in our lives. It always starts with the mind. It always starts with the imagination. And, you know, if you think about it, that's the whole purpose of television advertising today. Advertisers know that if they can get that product into your imagination, then they've got you. I mean, if that didn't work, they wouldn't bother with all these advertisements. And the Bible says that that what starts in the mind eventually comes out in our lifestyle. And the consequences of giving in can be deadly, says James. Now, the last little while, for my own personal devotions, I've been going through the book of 1 and 2 Samuel. And there's a story about King David in 2 Samuel 11 that still amazes me every time I read it. I mean, the Bible describes David as a man after God's own heart. And yet David fell into temptation in a way that most of us never will. David was relaxing one day on the palace roof when he saw this beautiful woman bathing below. Now, David should have taken a hike at that very moment, but he didn't do that. He kept looking until he was so filled with lust that he sent a servant to inquire about this woman. And the servant came back and said, "Listen, David, she's married. Stay away from her." But that didn't matter. David tells his servant to bring Bathsheba to his private quarters, and there he had sexual relations with her. And David sends her back to her own home as if nothing has happened, until Bathsheba returns to inform him that she's pregnant. And what does David do? He tries to cover it all up. He tries to cover up this sin in his life. And it all seems to work until it's uncovered by God himself. And so just think about that. If a man after God's own heart, if a godly person like David could so easily fall into that kind of temptation, what does that say about you or me? This story about David shows us that we need to catch temptation in the bud before it gets the better of us. And so to overcome temptation, to break a bad habit, we need to be realistic and we need to admit to this human weakness in our lives. That we take responsibility without making excuses or trying to blame someone else. And as we gain understanding for how temptation works, then we can take steps to avoid that. And if temptation begins within our inner thoughts, then changing what we think about, that then is the key to overcoming temptation. As James says in verse 17, James there says that we need to redirect our thinking and we need to focus on the goodness of God in our lives. He says there, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. The key to overcoming temptation in our lives is not, first of all, for us to try to fight it, but simply for us to try to refocus our thoughts, to focus on the goodness and the love of God instead of what tempts us. That we don't focus so much on the things that we want or think that we need in our lives, but that we focus instead on how God promises to help us in the temptations of our lives. We need to look to the promises of God's Word, and that we get the promises of God's Word in our minds, and that we refocus our lives. We can't fight a feeling, but we can ignore it. If we weaken it in that way. And so the point here that James makes is it doesn't work for us to try to argue with the devil. I mean, he's much better at these kind of arguments than we are. He's had thousands of years of experience with that. And so when temptation calls, when temptation comes our way, we simply need to remove ourselves from the situation, to just try to run the other way as fast as we can. As someone has said, if you don't want to get stung, get away from the bees. And so, what this means in practicality is sometimes that might mean changing our jobs. Sometimes it might mean changing the channel. It might mean giving up the password on our computer to someone that we trust. Now, earlier I mentioned the incident regarding King David. There's another story in the Bible about another man. Actually, a teenager named Joseph, who was sold by his brothers into Egypt. Genesis 39, verse 6, describes Joseph as a handsome young man who catches the eye of his master's wife. And she tries her best to try to seduce Joseph, but he refuses her advances, knowing that this is something that would be sinful in God's eyes. And one day, she grabs Joseph by the cloak and she urges him to come to bed with her. And Joseph leaves the cloak behind and he flees from this tempting situation. Did you notice here the difference between Joseph's reaction from that of David? Joseph avoids the temptation in its initial stage. He doesn't even consider the possibility of falling for this temptation. Now, in doing that, this certainly didn't make Joseph's life any easier. He finds himself in prison as a result of this. But he was willing to leave those consequences in God's hands, trusting that God would still do what was best for him. As James says in verse 18, He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be the kind of first fruits for all he created. The most single important principle in breaking down bad habits is for us to allow God to have control of our lives. As James talks here about God giving us birth through the word of truth. Now, when we experience a new life in Christ, when we are born again through our renewed faith in Jesus, that, of course, gives us a new capacity to resist temptation in our lives. Because we can't fight temptation on our own willpower. That's why we keep falling into temptation in our lives. We need to have a new supernatural power within us to fight temptation in our lives. That we surrender our lives to Jesus, who promises to give us a fresh new start. We won't be able to say no to temptation in our lives until we first say yes to Jesus. We need His power to do what we can't do in our own strength. And so, let me ask you this question. Talked about temptation here, but let's bring it back. Let's bring it to our own lives. Let me ask you this question. What's the most vulnerable weakness in your life at this very time? You know what that is. And God knows it, and the devil knows it. And we need to be realistic about where we most have this lack of self-control in our lives. And you know what it is. It might be your temper. It might be your appetite. It might be your spending. It might be your lustful thoughts. It might be a drinking problem. Or it might be your words as you say things that you later regret. So where is it that Satan is baiting you to fall into temptation at this time in your life? You see, once we figure that out, then we need to humbly admit that weakness to God, trusting that God will not only forgive us because of His love and His grace for us in Jesus, but even more so that we can look to God and that we can look to the power that He makes available through His Holy Spirit to enable us to overcome this temptation in our lives. The Apostle Paul offers us good news for our struggle with temptation. While we might feel weak and vulnerable when temptation comes knocking, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, "And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." Now, temptation will always be a part of living within this sinful world. And Paul reminds us here that we can always expect God to help us in every situation. Assuming, of course, that we're open to God helping us. Paul assures us that we are never alone in our temptation, which allows us to draw strength from each other as God's people within his church. And that's why it's so important for us to be part of the church. That's why it's so important for us to have Christian friends so that we can draw support from each other, so that we can pray for each other, that we can encourage each other in this common struggle against temptation. That's why we need to try to stay connected with each other during this time of social isolation. We might not be able to get together in person with the people that we normally do, but we can find ways of connecting together by phone or video chat or whatever. We can still find ways that we can be there for each other as the body of Christ. And we need to remember also that God never allows a temptation to become unbearable for us. No matter how we feel, no matter what the circumstances of our lives, God will lovingly give us the strength to resist. And if we're open to God's help, then he will graciously provide a way out of even the most tempting situation of our lives. Now, Hebrews 2 verse 18 is one of the most encouraging passages in the Bible in that regard. There it says, because Jesus himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. So how was Jesus tempted? Jesus was tempted by Satan on three different occasions in the desert. And on each occasion, Jesus looked to God and he looked to God's word to help him to resist Satan's temptation. And finally, what Jesus does, he simply tells Satan to just go take a hike. Tell Satan to get lost from his life. And in doing so, Jesus remains faithful to God, qualifying Jesus to become our perfect Savior who died to take on the penalty of our sin. And that, my friends, that really sums up the good news of the Bible. We can come to Jesus anytime we fall into temptation. There's no sin in our lives that God will not forgive when we embrace Jesus as Savior of our lives. Now, that doesn't mean that when we believe in Jesus, that God will then magically push the clear button to steer us away from all future temptation in our lives. In fact, the fact is that our old sinful habits, they don't just magically disappear. The fact is, Satan will try all the harder to try to lure us away from our trust in Jesus. And that's where we need to hang on to the Bible's promise that Jesus has already defeated Satan through his death on the cross. Satan might try his best to trip us up, but as long as we keep looking to Jesus, as long as we keep looking to Jesus to empower us and to lead us by his Holy Spirit, then Satan can't touch us with any of the temptations of our lives. And like Jesus, our first line of defense should always be the Bible, the Word of God, that enables us to discern between God's way from that of the sinful ways of this world. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is." Like Joseph, we need to to nip things in the bud. And we need to run from those situations that lure us into temptation. And what that might mean is that we do take some certain practical steps. It might mean putting a blocker on our computer to avoid the porn sites that are so prevalent on the internet. That we avoid those parties where we know that the booze is going to be flowing all too freely. And if a relationship progresses toward a social involvement with someone that we are not married with, well, don't think that you're going to be strong enough to resist. You need to run away from that situation and maybe even run away from that relationship as soon as possible. Martin Luther once said, "We can't keep the birds from flying over us, but we can keep them from making a nest in our hair." Granted, it's not always easy, but we can remember this: God will always be faithful for us. God will lovingly and graciously help us to resist any temptation in our lives. The key thing in that is that we always need to be open. We need to prayerfully look to God to help us in every situation. And then he will, because God is always faithful to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we confess that all too often we straddle the line between your way of obedience and the temptations of this world. Lord God, you know us even better than we know ourselves. You know those areas of our lives where we are most vulnerable. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray that you will give us the conviction and the courage to stay away from those kinds of tempting situations. We pray that you will help us to realize that we're not strong enough to resist these kinds of things in our own strength, that we need to look to you, that we need to look to you to help us by your Holy Spirit working within us to do the things that we can't do in our own strength. Thank you, Lord God, that one of the ways that you help us is through the prayers and the support of other people. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to be the body of Christ for each other. And we pray, Lord, that we may encourage each other to stand strong against the temptations. And we pray, Lord God, then for those who are listening here who struggle because of the temptations that they've given into in their lives. Those who struggle with guilt, those who struggle with shame due to the way that we've given in to past or maybe even present temptations. Lord, help us not to just beat ourselves up over that. Help us to embrace the forgiveness that you so lovingly have secured for us through your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross to take away our sin. Not just some of our sin, that you, Lord Jesus, that you died to take away all of our sin, to take away even the worst kind of sin that we've ever committed in our lives. We pray, Lord, that you will also help us to look to your word and your Holy Spirit to help us to make that commitment to live out your will and your purpose for our lives in every situation. Help us to run away from Satan and the ways he tries to bait us. Help us to do that in the strength and the leading of your Holy Spirit. Help us to do that in the assurance of your love and your grace for us in Jesus. And so we pray that in his name. Amen.